So I wanted to ask why seeds are so important.
Seeds are important because our ancestors developed a relationship with plants that allowed their cultivation for food and medicine. And this has been our central element of our culture and our survival for millennia. That's why they're important. And the saving seeds, why they're important, is that just as our families are attached to our homes, our seeds learn to thrive in their place of cultivation by developing a relationship with the soil, the water, agricultural practices, ceremonies, and prayers, thereby giving seeds a sacred place in our families and communities. The way in which seeds become attached to a place makes them native seeds, also known as land races, also makes them an important element of our of the generational memory of our communities.
And so seeds that maybe that you have, do you know how far back they go? Like, you know, I know some people have stopped farming and are just coming back into farming, mm-hmm. but I imagine that there are seeds that go back a long time, that they came from last year, but those from last year came from the year before that and the year before that. Do you have, could you talk about that?
I'm trying to think how old my seeds are. They're not that old. Our community here lost a lot of the farming traditions, or growing their own food and medicine. And I think the farm programs are started out back in the, I guess, early 80s. And I'd say the chili seeds are probably the oldest that I have. They were my grandfather's seeds. He passed away in the early 70s. And I think we found the seeds around the 90s. And that's what we've been planting. So I don't know how old those seeds are, but you know, I would say those are the oldest ones that I have.
So, but they were kept for 20 years, and they were still able to.
Yeah, they're still able to germinate, and I still have them.
So that's amazing.
Yeah,
they really are still. They were still alive.
And then. And the majority of my seeds I've been given to me by other farmers within the area, or local seed companies that are certified organic, open pollinated seeds. I don't use the hybrids. And now, where we teach the seed saving technique, so you know these seeds will be here hopefully forever now, and that we don't lose the traditions again. I don't think we totally lost it. You know, we have people farming here and there in these little plots, and it's just the council decided to make it a community activity, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Consolidated a lot of the smaller plots of land into larger plots. Last year, the community transplanted over approximately 300 fruit trees, and getting ready for the future.
So, as far as traditional agriculture, could you talk about what you know about agriculture before the Europeans came to this land? Or, and I'll ask that first.
Well, the people relied upon integrated systems of diverse technologies to harvest and conserve water for crop production. And the people manipulated all four principles of moisture resources available, such as direct precipitation, intermittent runoff, groundwater, and permanently flowing river, spring, and seep waters. One of the best known field technologies visible in the Rio Grande are the gravel mulch plots. They're densely covered low mesas and terrace escarpments overlooking well-watered alluvial bottomlands, such as behind me here. Okay. Typically raised above their surrounding ground surface, gravel mulch plots usually depend entirely upon direct snowfall and rainfall for their moisture. Because their massive stone construction renders them less permeable to runoff, some fails placed at slope bases work to trap and redirect runoff to nearby terraces, pits, or other planting areas. The people pile 4 to 5 inch thick mixture of stone and alluvial sand on the natural ground surface. The sand content of sediment within gravel mulch plots is greater and more consistent than in soils outside the stone fields. Although sand has a lower watering holding capacity compared with loam, sandy soil yields more moisture to plants. And it also functions as a natural mulch, facilitating the downward percolation of snowmelt and rainwater. The sand layer also prevents the loss of soil moisture to the dry air through evaporation. And the stones possess significant thermal conservation properties that warm soil temperatures and then protect the seedlings from late spring frost damage, and maybe even capture additional small quantities of moisture by enhancing dew formation. Complexes of short terraces, cobble dams constructed across washes to slow runoff, and stone spreaders which divert water from natural drainage channels to sandy planting areas. Stone-lined ditches occur directly with the gravel mulch plots and cobble-bordered grids. The people manage the water through the construction and integration of pits, low earth or stone terraces, check and diversion dams, earth and stone grids, gravel mulch plots, and ditches across this whole landscape. Loosely clustered complexes of rock-bordered grids and cobblestone terraces occur upon the high mesas with thin sandy soils, moderate gradients, and broad natural soils that lead to the heads of mesa side drainages. Because surface soils in these settings saturate rapidly during downpours, the runoff characteristically flows through the natural swales toward the rock field structures, which trap and hold the water. In this way, the loss of runoff is prevented, and the potential for short-term moisture surpluses percolate into the ground to benefit plants. So basically, our people were using the land as a sponge. You know, we dance for wet rain, we pray for rain, and we say to leave the land saturated wet. And this is how they managed the land.
What were some of the crops that they... Was it like the corn? And you say that's what's behind the...
They're all through this landscape.
Okay.
It's everywhere.
So it's, and that, but that's one that has survived, and, or that...
In 2004, well, prior to that, there was a fire in Mesa Verde, which exposed all these structures there in Mesa Verde. And in 2004, I think the National Engineering Society or Society of Engineers gave awards to the people of Mesa Verde for their engineering feats of their water harvesting structures. in Mesa Verde. Are you looking at Mesa Verde? People leaving there around, let's say, 1250 to 1350 AD. Tezuki Pueblo has been through some of the tree ring data from the homes. It's been found that we've been here since 1150, 1180 to 1150 AD. And so my community has been here since Mesa Verde time. And so the same structures that were built in Mesa Verde are all around here. Mm-hmm. And those structures are still working. You look up here in these mountains, and you see all these pinon, juniper, yucca, and you know they have deep tap roots, eh? There's lots of water up there. That's why we have all this vegetation. And it's all about water. And groundwater, surface water. And they relied, I think they knew more about groundwater than we do, because all we look at is, when we think about water, is surface water. Back to plants. So when you're talking about what our people grew before the arrival of the Spanish, you look out in this landscape and see what you see. And so, you know, of course we have the corn, the beans, the cotton, and it's growing all up through here. We have the juniper berries. We use the juniper itself for medicine. You have the pinon. It gives us food and medicine and materials. Both heat our homes, heat our hornos for the bread baking, cookies and pies. You hear the birds. What else is out there? Wild rice, onions. So nowadays when we say wild, you know, that's actually somebody's field that we're harvesting from, especially in this area. And so you're looking at our people manage the land from here, the bottom land here, all the way to the top of the Sangre Cristos, all the way to the top of the Jemez Mountain Range. You know, I get my medicine here in the bosque, the Manzapu or Herba Mansa. But then I go way up into the mountains and I get my Osha. You see what I'm saying? And so when you talk about how our ancestors produce food, you can't just look at how we do it now. They use the whole system, everything with the food for them. Today we look at we look at right here in front of us. This is what I've got, sweet corn in here. And we say, well, that's a weed, this is a weed, and so forth. But to them, it wasn't the weed. It was a food. Or it was a tool, you know, thing. And so that's how you got to think about it, is those terms. And so you look at it as the domesticated and the so-called wild plants. They managed all of that. And along with the animals.
And could you kind of describe the land around here? I know you did when you described the farming, but...
We're about, 6,500 feet in elevation, pinon, juniper. Foothills. We have the Real Tezuque about 100 yards from us. This first terrace off the river, you know, it's all bottom land. And then you have the foothills. And all of this is managed land. It's all terraced. Like I'm saying, it goes all the way up to the mountains. You're looking at from here, the willows, the cottonwoods, just down here. Let me see what else. Cacti going up.